Rose Brothel presents Fasten the Dance of Dreams.
Should we make some characters?
Yeah. I have gone back on my commitment to be a hunter, and now I don't care anymore.
Spencer is now in limbo again.
Yes.
I got two that I'm looking at. I'm looking at now maybe hunter or servant.
Butler.
How about you, Lucas?
I'm going with a cultist.
Okay.
I feel like we should all like write down our dark secrets to Austin.
It'll be a part of.
We can send
them to you in private messages outside of the group.
But that's kind of what I was wondering. And the reason I say that is because I already have my dark secret, or I know what my dark secret is. Mm-hmm. But it may also lean towards a different thing that I'm thinking, because there's two that I'm between. I'm between academic and writer. And it can go for either one, but depending on the secret and the people around me, it may affect which one would rather go which way.
So here's my thought, Emily. My trauma is that my...
Hang on. I don't know that we should know what your trauma is.
Trauma is...
I think there's some things about our characters we should keep away from everyone else.
Trauma can be mental, physical...
Sorry to interrupt you, but...
Well, it kind of depends, like, because... For instance, I don't know if I want people to know my trauma because it's linked to my dark secret.
Okay.
But if your trauma isn't linked to your dark secret, it might actually be something that binds. It might be something that binds us because it's generally associated with Vessen.
Now, right? If your two characters know each other, then Emily might know what that is.
Yeah.
But us two wouldn't.
All right, I'll text it to you then.
Thank you. Sorry, listeners, you don't get to know, huh?
You might find out.
It'll come up.
I think it's more fun when you kind of learn a thing about a player. Like, we had this issue when we played Berlin because Spencer made his character in front of everyone else, and they already knew what the secret was before we played. So
I had forgotten, so it was a surprise.
Sir?
One thing I really like about this game is that it actually incentivizes good role-playing and character relationships. Mm-hmm. That's what really struck me in this game. Because at the end of... So, let me summarize and you tell me if I'm right. So, basically, at the end of each scenario, you ask us 8 questions.
Yeah.
And then we get a number of points based on whether we answer yes or no to that question. If we answer yes, we get a point. And a lot of those are about, did you play into your dark secret? Did you... So I just
play up your motivation. Yeah,
play up your motivation. It's really cool.
Yeah. If you want to level, you have to role play.
Yeah.
And I mean, the questions themselves, like, you could just kind of like, yeah. But I think I will probably push, like, did you actually do this? Like, what evidence do you have that you played up this particular angle?
Also, although this is a Nordic game, your character does not have to be from like that area.
Yeah.
So like, don't feel like you had to do a Swedish accent.
Actually, so if you didn't know, Scandinavians tend to have a very Midwestern accent when they speak English.
That is true.
So we tend to
it's actually like a very Hoosier accent. It's really
it's weird. Not Hoosier. It's actually more Minnesota. But I can say
Fort Wayne.
When I
Minnesota,
traveled around Minnesota. Europe, yeah. I was pegged as a Scandinavian because one, blonde hair, blue eyed, but also my quote unquote English accent was very Scandinavian.
Hmm. Oh no.
Mm-hmm.
But you're a Chicagoan.
I have long vowels.
Spencer, did you decide on a tentative archetype?
So it really depends on where everyone else lands.
Okay.
I think we need someone who can... I don't know if there's really a tank in this game.
There really isn't.
No. But the servant is more close combat, and we don't necessarily have anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Got a couple of squishies with an occultist and a writer.
We also,
and maybe long range with the hunter or medic. I don't know how they do in combat besides healing people. So having... and it could work with the story I was thinking too. So that's where I'm leaning.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see any reason why a doctor would not be able to fight, but... their main attribute is logic, if that matters.
Yeah, so it'd be less.
And you, you get a lot of freedom in terms of where you put your attribute points and your skill points. So
so the main attribute has a plus one, right?
No, the main attribute, you can take it to a five at character creation, but everything else caps at a four.
All right.
You get a specific pool based on your age.
So let's talk about character creation, because that's what we're into.
Cool.
Much like anything necessary, this is a 12-step program.
It is.
You choose your archetype, your age, then your name. You distribute the attribute points. Then you distribute points to skills and resources according to your age. You choose a talent, a motivation, a trauma, a dark secret. And then you choose your relationship with each of the other PCs, which I think at this point really only two people at the table know each other.
But that could change.
That could change.
Yeah.
You roll for mementos and then choose your equipment at the end as per the usual.
Yeah. So we're just going to run down through it. So right now we all kind of tentatively have an archetype. That can totally change. I mean, it really is one of those things
I've chosen Hunter.
Okay, I got to erase that.
Ooh.
That means I'm gonna go servant.
Okay.
So you were servant,
and I don't see it as like the other thing. I'm really excited about the 12 archetypes, but you're cool if we kind of like stretch the archetype in terms of the profession. Yeah. Okay.
You can with those skills, like you can make a physique 4 writer. Like it's
right.
Like you can make a brawler writer, a Hemingway. Yeah. Right.
Is Hemingway much of a fighter?
Yeah, he was drunk.
Kind of gave up.
He probably fought when he was drunk.
Yeah.
He kind of gave up at the end, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's true. Well, okay. So age is actually an important decision that you have to make. So on page 18, you select an age that's going to put you in an age group, and that's going to determine how many attribute points you get, how many skill points you get. Yeah. And so young, you get 15 attribute points, you get 10 skill points. Middle age, you get 14 attribute points, 12 skill points. Old, you get 13 attribute points, 14 skill points.
Which middle age is 26 to 50, and that makes me, as a person who's 36 in real life, feel like shit.
Hell yeah. I mean, 26 is middle ages,
right?
But it's also the 1800s. No, so.
Young is 17 to 25.
It makes sense. I see what they're going, because your brain stops developing at like 25, 26. Seven. And so your body just starts dying then. So
27.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, once you hit 30, your body starts to fall apart.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what happened to me.
Yeah, I think middle-aged is probably like the...
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I went with middle-aged. Do you need our actual age or does it matter? I guess it doesn't really matter.
If you want to, but just a general idea.
I'm just going
to
put my actual age down at 36.
Though. There you go. All right. Are you young, old, or middle-aged?
I am roughly the same age as Amy. Amy, so how old are you?
38.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Oh.
You could be a little younger. I feel like
that's
that
what
works.
I was thinking. I was thinking like maybe...
Like 30?
Like 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that scene's...
Still middle-aged.
Okay. How about you, Cyburns?
I am a young whippersnapper. I'm 20 years old.
Ooh, baby.
But a baby. All
right. So make sure you write that down. So you're gonna have 15 attribute points, if you want to write that off to the side next to attributes, mm-hmm. and then 10 skill points. So your skill points are going to be a little lacking, but not too bad.
How many attributes does Emily have? Sorry.
14.
14 and 12.
So if you go to your page for your archetype, it will tell you in the little box main attribute and main skill. So you put so you basically take those attribute points, skill points, you assign them to your different attributes and skills. You cannot go over 4 for an attribute or skill unless you have that as your, or sorry, hold on. Just got, something's coming in. Hold on.
Your main attribute can go to 5.
Okay. So let's do attributes first. So all of your attributes, all 4, have to have a minimum score of 2.
Okay.
So, you know, there's 8 of your points already. The rest have a maximum value of 4, except for your main attribute, which can go up to 5.
So my main has to have how many?
So basically you have 6.
It can have up to 5.
You basically only have, at a middle-aged person, 6 points to play with, period. Mm-hmm. So if you boost your max... to 5, you're left with not much
right
to play with.
I wasn't gonna do 5,
and the rest can go to 4.
I mean, you can have one that's 5, one that's 4, one that's 3, and one that's 2,
Right.
Yeah, you're always going to have a dump stat in every game, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, how is your character? How do you want to play your character, right? Because
my first game where my empathy is super low.
Oh. You're not playing Mine's Amy.
I'm not playing Amy.
I don't remember.
Mine's high.
Does your physique mitigate your hit points?
Balance me out.
I don't remember.
I don't believe so.
What mitigates your hit points? I forget.
There are no hit points. It's only conditions.
That's just conditions.
Yeah, armor can block damage.
That's right. Okay.
But that's it.
Do you have to have a specific number in something to wear armor?
I don't believe so.
I thought you did. Gives you a bonus. Availability, 2, 3, 1. So there is an availability.
So that is based on resources, which we haven't gotten to yet.
Oh, what is the difference?
Oh, can you purchase it?
Okay. Yeah. So that has nothing to do with your attributes points.
Correct.
Austin?
Yeah?
What is the difference between precision and physique?
I'm sorry precision if I missed that. Is basically like your dexterity. So being able to dodge, being able to do ranged combat. Physique is being able to wrestle, being able to force doors down, punch somebody in the face, wield melee weapons.
I believe, yeah, melee is based on physique. Ranged weapons are
precision. Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to shoot something.
And we get 14, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If I did the math.
Technically,
correctly.
You really only get 6 because everything has to at least be a 2.
But that's mm-hmm. really confusing. You get 14, at least everyone has to be a 2.
Right.
I put, since I'm a youngin', attributes are kind of where I shine.
Mm-hmm.
So I maxed out my physique with 5. And I was still able to kind of spread the rest evenly. Kind of. So logic, it says it's about your book learning, but then it also is just kind of like your problem solving.
Yeah.
So am I good if I'm uneducated? If I kind of like from a storytelling perspective, it's not that I'm book learned. It's more that I have problem solving skills. Is that
yeah.
okay?
Yeah. It's, I think it's also investigation. So you're able right. to, ability to perceive things. Well, maybe that's empathy. I can't.
All right. I went down the line. Physique, precision, logic, empathy, 4, 4, 3, 3.
Okay.
Split the last two evenly.
Well rounded.
I'm the exact opposite of you. I'm 4, 4. I'm 3, 3, 4, 4.
That makes sense based on your character, though.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Cool.
I did 5 in precision. Since I'm a hunter, mm-hmm. I have to be able to do things.
Makes sense.
Yeah. 4 in logic, 3 in physique, and 2 in empathy.
Now, at any point in the game, are we able to elevate these attributes when we level up?
Yeah, those can eventually go up.
What, is there a max? Is there an actual max?
5 is the max.
5 is the max.
5 is the max. Yeah. So my guess is you're probably not going to get a ton of opportunities to raise attributes because, I mean, you would very quickly max
out. It's based on, basically, you have to complete the scenario, really, to even level up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know I don't know how much detail we went into that when we talked about the system itself, but.
No, not much.
I guess for people at home, then, it's sort of like Call of Cthulhu when you get rewards instead of sanity. You're getting victory points based on a series of questions you have to say yes to, basically.
So the way I understand this, and maybe you can correct me if I am wrong, physique is more strength.
You're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Good. I'm closer. I can slap him.
I can take you out, man. Don't mess with me.
He's had almost one beer and he's getting
He's getting feisty.
Hey, and some moonshine.
Precision is dex.
Correct.
Logic is no and empathy is int? Or would that be
switched? It's a little bit different. So logic is investigation. Logic is basically your perception, which they call vigilance. Empathy is like your insight. So they call observation, your ability to read people, read situations. Also charisma. Okay. Your ability to kind of connect with people and make them
and manipulation
really
too, right?
End of the four things. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because the skills kind of expand it out.
No, that's fine. I'm just trying to. So, like, when we come up with something, you know, like in Call of Cthulhu, they don't call it no. It was no, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, we were like, oh, that's this.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to.
Knowledge, I believe, was based on edu.
All of the skills have the associated attribute next to them. So, that should be.
So smart.
Pretty easy.
No, and that works. I was just trying to bring it to a point where people would also understand it if you've only played D&D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right.
I mean, most of our listeners have probably heard a good amount of our different systems. So, but yes. Anyone who's new to the show, first of all, thank you for listening. Secondly, yes.
Skills? We ready?
Yeah.
Sweet.
No.
I'm scared.
So there are 12 skills, 3 for each of the main attributes. So physique has agility, close combat, and force. Precision has medicine, ranged combat, and stealth. Logic has investigation, learning, and vigilance. Empathy has inspiration, manipulation, and observation. Interestingly enough, inspiration is how you heal mental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's not like you bandage with medicine,
you
sit and talk to a person to heal their mental conditions.
You're welcome, all. That's my main skill. Yeah.
What's the cap on these?
So you have a range of 0 to 5 for your skills. You cannot have more than 2 in any one skill at the start, except for your main skill, which you can have 3 in. So you don't have to have a minimum, but you do have a maximum of 2 or 3.
For people at home, on our page that shows our archetype, mine shows my main attribute was precision. My main skill is stealth. So everybody's going to have a different main skill based on their archetype.
So
my stealth can go to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As a writer, my main attribute is empathy. And my main skill is inspiration.
One other thing to note with skills. So at the beginning of the game, and only at the beginning of the game, you can use skill points that you have to increase your resources score. So if you go to your page, you have below talents, a resources score should be a range. So for example, the doctor is 4 to 6. Right now, your resources score is lower of that range. Every point, skill point that you spend can increase it up to a max of the higher number within that range.
So it starts at that lowest number unless
and you can increase it 1 per skill point up to the maximum.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, and to clarify in terms of skill checks, even if we have a 0, we still at least roll 1 die.
Correct.
Okay.
So what? Sorry, go ahead.
Are you asking what resources are?
Well, yeah, I was like, what? Because for role play reason, an influence or whatever. Yeah, but for role play reasons, I kind of want to have like more poverty. But then the metagaming brain is also telling me that, why do I need it?
So
what
would be good about it?
You also
want
to be able to buy things.
Yes, availability of the items. That basically is how many resources you need to acquire that item. But the resources are essentially pooled. So at the start of a scenario, you will roll a number of dice equal to the resource score, and that will be the number of points you can spend towards extra items. So you know that you get equipment at the beginning. So you have what you need to get by. It's if you need something special. Ooh. Then the resources come into play and can help everybody get whatever
they want. We need a Richie Rich. We need a Richie Rich. And it's not going to be me because I am a young servant.
So you can stay poor and just hope to mooch off of others because it becomes one pool.
Yes.
And resources can increase. Like if you come upon wealth, like that's going to raise your resource score. Now is the only time that skill points can increase it. Yes. Question.
I would like to point out that as a hunter, one of my resources is a hunting dog. And my hunting dog's name is Siri.
Okay.
Yes. Is that a reference to...
my dog!
Your dog.
Their actual dog.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. And is your dog's reference to, what's that game, Witcher?
No. It's Siri, S-I-R-I. Her real name is Saoirse, which is the Irish word for freedom, because she's an Irish wolfhound.
A massive.
That's much cooler.
Massive dog.
Yeah.
She's like, such a baby. Today, she collapsed on me, and it was very painful.
She's only, what, 3?
She big duke.
Yeah, she'll be 3 in December.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She baby.
She my baby girl.
Huge puppy. This is rough, because I want resources, but
so we can take one of our skills and make our resources higher.
Yeah, up to the
So
the
it may not be a bad
range.
Idea to flip to equipment if you want to know how much certain things cost.
Like if you think you're going to want something down the road. Because
your resource has to be at a certain level to buy it. What page was that on again? I know.
It's towards the end of combat.
Amy, equipment, I can also have a pet dog.
Yes! Dog friends!
Or I can have a book collection. Let's be honest.
Come on, people. I just realized, guys, you realize out of all 12 archetypes, I legitimately think we picked the 4 out of the 5 poorest.
Yes.
We literally did. Yeah.
We did. Yeah. We did.
Unless go we put us. In points. Yeah. It's, yeah.
The only poorer one is the Vagabond.
The Vagabond starts at a one.
At a one, yeah.
Well, actually, so does one the occultist.
One is destitute.
The occultist starts
you
at
are
a one.
Destitute.
So, like, yeah. Well, I'm going to put some points in it. Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out how to mitigate this. Because I want to buy things, but I also want to be able to roll dice.
Is the hunter one to four or two?
Hunter's 2 to 4.
2 to 4.
Yeah. 2 to 4.
Yeah. The writer is 2 to 5.
Gosh, guys.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you go with? What was your archetype? Sorry.
He's a servant.
I went with servant. So
servant starts is two to four.
2 to 4. Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm the poor one.
Yeah. Right.
Unless I put points in things, which I think I'm gonna.
Oh, the like the equipment and stuff?
Yeah.
It is 74 and 75.
Oh, that's a lot of
things. Is it really back that far?
Mm-hmm. And you can see, like, hunting dog, pet dog, they give you a bonus. All of the items give you a bonus, and it tells you under the effect what that gives you a bonus for.
Now, armor does have a negative to it. Now, what is that? It's a negative one to agility. Now, how does that figure
so,
in? So... Like light armor is -1, medium -2, heavy -3. Yeah. How does that actually work in terms of?
So agility is a skill.
That is
so it's
point.
A physique skill. Okay. So that I
so
think
you're just rolling
you
less
roll
dice.
For...
You're rolling less dice.
Yeah.
So that would make a difference
like
in
dodge.
Terms of like stealth comp, stealth and shit.
Stealth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I like the flat bonus for these things. Like weak horse gives you a +1 to force. That's like whenever you can use your weak horse. Like I want to open this door. Horse.
Right. So basically on the equipment list, if our resources do not meet the number, we just cannot buy it.
So it's more complicated than that. At the beginning of a scenario, we set up the scenario and then you have kind of a planning session. This is not going to be the case for the first scenario because I want to do it a little bit different to start.
Okay.
But you will be basically able to say, okay, we're going to look for clues. We're going to prepare advantages, which are kind of one-time, one-shot, +2 dice pool bonuses you get to a specific skill. And so you'd say like, oh, okay, I want a +2 to my agility roll at one point. So I'm going to like spend some time to like do some jumping jacks or do some
right,
field training.
Right.
You also try to procure items. So that means everybody rolls dice equal to their resource score. The number of successes that you get is the number that you can spend to meet an item's availability. So if an item has an availability of 1, you need 1 success. And that's it. That is your effort to find and procure it. So it's not just your money to be able to acquire it. It's do you have the connections to find that item?
Okay, wait, sorry. So then what is that pool based on?
Your resources score.
Okay, you so if I have a 2, I'm only rolling two dice.
Two dice. But everybody rolls their resource score, and then you can share successes.
Okay.
And that does not impact what we get as starting equipment.
Correct. You get your starting equipment. So you have enough to get by, but if
that
you want
true.
Anything extra.
Okay.
And the starting equipment is pretty solid. Like,
yeah,
you'll
like
have
I get,
what
I get, a,
you need.
I get a revolver.
Yeah.
I do start with a dagger, so that's something, but... You, aside from that, it's not...
I got a puppy. Yeah. Should
although
I name
your skills
my puppy
are
Daisy?
Pretty badass.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, my intent is to create more
although,
of a rogue rather than like,
yeah.
a culty person.
Gotcha.
And this was, like, the most rogue archetype
oh my God,
in the
Amy.
Game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because your sense. Dog is an Irish wolfhound, and it's ginormous, and mm-hmm. my dog's a basset hound, which is little. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so cute watching them walk next to each other.
And both of the like, that's perfect, because it's basset doing... hound is going to be able to find shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... kill shit.
Yeah.
That, that depends on whether
murder
or not
shit.
That depends on whether or not the dog's deaf and blind. Which
is
this
real
is life.
Young Daisy.
Oh, young Daisy.
This
young
is
Daisy.
Fantasy world.
This is Daisy who never dies.
She I'm still gets a melee attack with her giant butt though. She
just brings
yes!
it.
Yes!
And those paws.
She gets a bubble butt attack.
Yep.
She does.
That's amazing.
Does everyone have their skillerinos?
Yeah,
yeah
I'm curious
I think
to
so.
Talk through it because I want to make
yeah.
sure
yeah.
we're
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. All right, so I'll start. I maxed out force, so I move big things.
Yeah.
And then also...
Is that a servant thing?
Yeah. And then I also put actually 4 points in logic to an investigation and to in vigilance.
Okay.
So, yeah. So hopefully nothing can sneak up on us. And then I put kind of like, you know, token points, one in stealth, because, you know, I assume that's going to come up a lot. Because, like, as you said, it's more horror. Mm-hmm. So I want to have something there. And then I added two more, one to agility and one to close combat. So I'm kind of all over the place. I'm kind of curious to see what you guys think about that. What do you guys have?
Is force based on unarmed combat then?
It's different than close combat. That's its own skill. Yeah. Force is like, it's very kind of nebulous. It's forcing a door. It's wrestling. It's okay. Exerting force on something. It could also be like fixing a wagon. Like yeah. The wheels okay. off. Can okay. you force it back?
Gotcha.
And it, right. force is more when you're grappling too.
Yeah.
That's when you use force. Yeah.
yeah. So did okay. you not increase your resources?
I did not. And I thought it made sense.
Your make sure you write down two yeah. as your minimum.
Two. And I thought it made sense because yeah. I'm so young.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So my resources, I added one, two. So I'm at a two.
Okay. Oh, God.
Congratulations.
Well, occultist is not great. It's great for other things. It's not like money, right? Which is not a problem for me. It's a role-playing concept. Close combat at two, medicine at one, because I want to make sure we can do some rolls to fix wounds. Mm-hmm. My stealth I maxed out at three, because that's my main skill. Investigation is two, and manipulation is two. And observation is one. Everything else is at a zero.
So I'm going to circle that you have investigation at two, and maybe yeah. since I have it at two, maybe we can, if like all of us picked investigation, that's where.
I mean, it's
good to.
It's not bad. It's the perception role. It's the.
Which there's a lot of.
Yeah. If we're doing an investigation thing, we need yeah. to be able to see the thing.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Amy.
I had a question about observation. Is observation more as far as interpreting how people are interacting with you versus...
So, when talking to another person or spending time in her presence, you can use observation to understand what she is thinking, feeling, or planning. If you pass the skill test, the game master describes the impression. So it's very much insight.
It's the insight/psychology role.
Yep.
I know. I'll give two shits about that.
I ain't talking to people. I'm solving crimes.
I put one in agility, two in medicine, three in ranged combat, two in stealth, two in investigation, one in vigilance, and one in manipulation.
Cool.
What is vigilance? Like, what is that based off of?
It's like, yeah, people are sneaking up on you.
Yeah, being aware of things.
It's off of logic, okay. So yeah. It's,
which to
it's,
me is
it's kind of like spidey sense,
okay.
I would say.
Because I have 2 points I haven't used yet. So basically, I increase my resources. So instead of a two, I'm a three.
Okay. I was going to question that, yeah.
And then I did it in agility. Mm-hmm. So one in agility, one in stealth, one in investigation, one in learning, three in inspiration.
Mm. Is that your main then?
Yes. Okay. And two in manipulation. And then I have two left.
So you're going to be the one who's like fixers our mental issues.
Right. And that's why I did it. Yeah, you're welcome. But I'm curious if I should have at least a combat or if I should just stick one in vigilance and one in observation because I am an empath, apparently.
What's your physique?
I mean, I don't know exactly what you're asking. So
the score
is three.
So you would be throwing three dice if you were in close combat anyway.
Okay.
So, wait. You know, it's not going to be nothing.
Wait, hang on. I thought you couldn't move more than just your main up to three.
I was talking attributes.
Attributes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, attributes. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe I'll just do one in vigilance and one in observation because I'm smart.
Smart.
And then we'll just go from there.
Sorry, Amy. I missed it. How many did you put medicine?
Two.
Okay.
That's good.
Awesome. That's good.
And then my
good.
Precision is five.
So
you still kind of went healy anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not bad, though. We got to have something at the table that, you know.
So I kind of want to take one from investigation just also based on my character.
Okay.
Is there anything we are lacking? I think we have a pretty even spread, actually.
So you're good on force. Does anybody have a lot in, like, does anybody have anything in ranged combat?
Yes,
Hunter
that's
does.
My whole thing.
Oh, that,
what about learning? Who is learning? Learning is
zero.
Huge.
I got a zero.
I have zero.
Learning is huge.
Emily, what's your learning?
In learning?
Yeah.
One.
But like, so it's logic, maybe, so we'll still learning. Get to roll four. it's adding two yeah, dice you, to that. It doesn't fit right? my character. Okay, so my logic is four, so I'll still roll four dice.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't fit your backstory.
Learning is a big one in this game, though.
So do it that way. Like, what's your backstory? Like, don't tell us, but like, what's your backstory? Like, what makes more sense for you to put another point in something?
I like that.
I'll take one from investigation and I'll put one in learning.
You don't even have to worry about the table. Just make it make sense for you.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I did. Like
agility, I'd say.
I don't care if you and I have the same in investigation. Like, that's just my character. So I don't, you know, it's whatever.
I like it.
Sweet. So we are set on skills?
We're set on skills, yes, and balls. Resources, and attributes.
Sweet. So let's do talents.
Talents.
So talents you will see on your character page in that little magical box at the bottom. Talents, it gives you three or so options. You are choosing one of those talents to start, only one of those talents. The talents
I want all of them.
On 49.
You actually can collect more talents as you go.
And we have to pick from one of those three to start, right?
Sadly, I believe that is the case. Yeah, I don't think you can choose away from... Until you level up, I don't think you can chase. You can change anything else.
Yeah, to start off, you get one of those three talents. Now, experience points can later be spent to get more talents.
Define conjuring tricks, because it's not well-defined.
Occultist, I found, was not well-defined in general.
So... I have an option of taking conjuring tricks. That's one of my talents. You can use stealth instead of manipulation when performing conjuring tricks to influence people. Is that just like a persuasion concept?
That were your way of...
Manipulating
people. Like doing a tarot reading, something like that, right? Where you're trying to convince a person of something. That would probably be your way of manipulating them.
Now,
would be doing something like
that. How do talents work in terms of skill checks? Like, does that give me an extra dice if I'm trying to manipulate somebody?
No, it allows you, if instead of using the manipulation skill, you could use stealth. So if you are a stealthy person, that would be a good talent for you to take because get a bigger dice pool.
Which almost makes me want to take a point out of manipulation and put it in something else.
So I just want to confirm that I'm understanding what robust means. So robust, just for everyone, is under... Yeah, the servants, one of his options, it says you may ignore penalties for physical conditions on one roll per gaming session. So what I imagine is, like, I'm almost dead, I've got three conditions, and I can basically just rage out and roll without any of my penalties,
that is exactly,
even though I'm almost dead.
I would say you could re-roll without taking a condition then, right?
Hold up, what?
Ooh.
Because you ignore conditions. Reread that, please?
Yeah. You may ignore penalties for physical conditions on physical one condition. Roll.
So that if specifically you can re-roll means without taking a physical condition then.
No. Right, just to ignore the ones you have.
You get
currently.
A penalty when you have a condition. That's what it's referring to.
Yeah.
It's not the condition itself, it's the penalty from the condition.
Okay.
But yeah, so you Spencer, you explained it exactly as I interpret it.
Okay.
Yeah. You Hulk out one time and you don't lose any of those.
Dice. Yeah, I have one that says ignore penalties from conditions when making inspiration tests.
I feel like everyone has, the third one is, yeah.
That's good.
Like, the occultists are really good. Like, I can use stealth instead of manipulation, like, which we talked about, you know, literally to persuade somebody. I can use observation to perform seances to speak to the dead.
Yeah.
And extra successes or more info. Or I can just, like, make somebody really afraid of me with Strike Fear. So, like, these options are, like...
It's hard.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Yeah.
Sir.
So, okay. Help me understand force in close combat because I thought I understood it, but now I'm struggling a little bit because one of my options is...
I'm with you.
You can have +2 to force when fighting unarmed. So does that mean when I'm fighting unarmed, I'm using force, not... my close combat.
That's the
and
question.
Close combat is more if I have like a baseball bat.
That's what I was trying to question earlier. Yeah.
Okay. Close combat. Attacking an enemy requires a skill test. Unarmed attacks are performed with force. When armed with melee weapons, you use close combat. For ranged attacks, you use ranged combat.
What if I am using my revolver in close range? What is
There's a zone specification for those.
There is, but I feel like narratively we could say, like, if you're popping someone with Wait, are you saying shooting someone in close range?
Yeah, because a revolver has a range of 0 to 1. So I assume you can shoot someone. Yes,
that would be ranged combat. That would still be ranged.
At zero? Yeah. Wow.
That is my understanding, and so I'll look at that.
Force?
But
like the point of force is just to lift shit.
Force? No,
shit?
Force is if I'm punching someone, I can yeah. And actually, my character could be built for that. What's kind of confusing is that I get a revolver, which is pretty dope, but then my character isn't necessarily built to do that.
Read that skill again.
Which one?
The one about force using
gain +2 to force when fighting unarmed.
So how many? Then you're rolling 5 dice plus your physical skill?
Yeah, I would be rolling a crap ton
you're
of dice.
And a fuck ton of dice for fight for close
that will then. Also yeah. mean... So you use force to parry. So parry is the equivalent of dodge. Yeah. Like, can you parry a physical blow? Like, obviously you can't parry a bullet, right? Right. But watch you would me. Get that bonus also to parrying physical attacks.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So that would help you there as well.
Okay.
So that could be, like... I guess if you had the revolver, you wouldn't technically be unarmed.
Right, so, but if I'm not you, if I'm not using it,
if it's holstered, you get the +2 to force.
Someone else, honestly, I mean, we can give each other our crap, right? Like, yeah. I can just give someone the revolver.
Yeah, holding and wrestling is a force test, so pinning someone down, if you, yeah. So that honestly has a lot of utility, that skill, or that talent.
Yeah, I'm going to take that because... Yeah, just robust it, just being able to use it once is just kind of like...
Yeah. I mean, it's good because it's 3 dice, but that's a consistent 2 dice.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'll avoid getting conditions with parry, too.
Yeah.
My choice was not difficult.
What is yours?
I chose herbalist. It's by utilizing wild herbs, you can use medicine without having access to medical supplies.
It's amazing.
Or yeah, herbs, that's good. Because it's a fucking H at the beginning.
So I have 3 options. I'll give the 2 non-really long. Like, I think I have one of the longest descriptions in one of mine. I can be a journalist, which means that I can use inspiration instead of manipulation when charming or deceiving someone.
That could be good.
Mm-hmm. Wordsmith, which means I ignore penalties from conditions when making inspiration tests.
Also very good.
Or automatic writing. When channeling spirits through automatic writing, you can use inspiration to gain clues. The game master provides more or less vague clues, predictions about the future, or momentary insights into the thoughts and experiences of your enemies. Extra successes reveal more clues.
Damn, bro, those are all so
However, on failure, the game master decides whether you suffer a condition, become possessed, or undergo a personality change.
Oh, you get possessed.
You decide what kind. That lasts for 1d6 hours. You can use it once per gaming session.
Yeah, you're totally getting possessed.
That's a...
So it's risk hard reward. Because it is a risk reward.
And you only get to use it once.
Per gaming session.
Yeah, right. But
I totally I like up to you. Two. I think narratively that could be really, really cool.
Oh. I know.
But
especially since sometimes we might be a little dumb. Just in general.
That is true. If, and that is an opportunity
to
give you
Austin is the one who like
stuff.
Pays attention and stuff.
And
y'all see the dark
Emily
moleskin?
Takes notes.
No.
Emily takes
the moleskin's on the other side.
No. Emily does take notes.
She's the only one on the table.
I will convert to taking notes for this.
Yeah, I'll try.
You will not stop.
I will. I mean, you can see I even opened
I can do both.
You're good at taking notes.
And red pen makes you remember.
Yep. You need to get
So this is my dilemma because that's a badass skill.
Yeah. It is.
But it comes with a lot of
downsides.
Versus
do it.
What are the other options?
Ones again?
Yeah. Okay, the other ones
are boring.
They are. Instead of manipulation, I can use inspiration.
Which
to get
is where
okay,
you
so
have
I'm using
3 already,
instead,
right?
So.
Right. What?
So he's already going to be able to manipulate pretty well.
I have 3 and 2.
Oh, okay.
So he can manipulate.
In fact.
Or I can ignore all conditions when doing inspiration tests.
Interesting. That could be big. Like if you got fucked up during a battle and then we have mental conditions, like we'd all be screwed. So that's, I'm leaning like
know.
That one seems
I mean, it's
good.
It's your choice, but yeah, like
they're all,
it's hard.
All.
That's the problem. It's
the first
like
and the third one are
good.
The two.
Yes, I'm with you.
They're both
ones.
Pretty good.
I'm with you.
So while you're thinking about that, I'm going to go ahead and take conjuring tricks.
Okay.
So I'm going to use stealth instead of manipulation. then can I go ahead and drop a point for manipulation and put it somewhere else? Because now I don't feel like I need that extra point in manipulation. Because I didn't realize what that was until I read
Now, I will say, it is only when you can realistically, through role-playing, use stealth, right? So if every interaction is going to be you pulling out the tarot cards, you trying to like do some sort of trick, then yes, you could use that stealth. But if you're just having a conversation, you don't have access to that, you are going to use manipulation. You're going to need to use manipulation. Like, there are no hard and fast rules for the rules of a conjuring trick. It's narratively, oh, Lucas is obviously trying to do some weird occultist shit. Cool, he's going to roll stealth now.
Yeah. All right. Versus, like, mine says when I'm charming or deceiving somebody.
So it's not going to be every time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Move on.
I don't know. Which one do I want? Listeners, vote now. Just kidding.
A year from now, tell us what we're going
to
play.
I'm the only one who listens to you, and I vote for number one.
It is really badass. I'm not going to lie.
It's pretty cool. I do like number one.
It's cool.
It'll be fun. Risk reward, and we'll find out how bad Austin fucks me up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fail.
We're all now talented.
Does everybody have their talent now?
Yes.
All right. It is time for motivations. And I think this one of everything can probably be something that's discussed and, you know, is a little bit more open. So if you want to talk about, and this is really where we start to kind of build the backstory. This is also going to be, though, it's not just fluff. It's not just kind of like D&D where it's just roll on a chart. You have to fulfill that motivation. You have to act according to what your character would do to level up, to gain experience. So think about what drives you. It gives you some ideas for motivations in your archetype box.
Quelle page? What page?
Oh,
whatever your archetype.
It's your archetype page.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's your archetype page. Yeah.
Yeah, you can pick one of the suggested for your archetype, or you come up with one yourself.
So 33.
First, he does French, and then he asks us a question that we don't know the answer to. So my motivation and my trauma are like intrinsically linked.
Motivation and the trauma. Could you talk about the motivation without revealing exactly the nature of the trauma?
I mean, my character has not kept her trauma a secret. Like, Emily would for sure know about it.
It would be a secret to the two of us at this point.
Mm-hmm. I will just say then, it's revenge.
Okay. So your motivation is revenge?
Yeah. Okay. Against Vassin.
Revenge against Vassin. So I guess, what does that look like? What for you fits revenge? What are you trying to do to Vassin?
I think just generally, like, she's almost turned into a Vassin vigilante, where she's trying to keep people safe in a way she wasn't able to before her trauma.
So protect people from Vassin.
Yeah.
So to me, those are two different motivations. Which is the stronger?
Piss.
Like, would you rather... Like, if it came down from between banishing a Vassin to protect people or killing a Vassin, are you always going to go for killing, or is it enough for you to just make sure they're not a threat?
I think it's more killing.
Okay. Okay.
The more interesting choice. I like.
And the motivations can evolve over time. So if you feel like narratively, that motivation starts to change a little bit, you can... Like, we can have that conversation.
And there can be push and pull within the group. Like, if she wants to, she makes it very clear that she wants to kill the Vassin, and then we kind of override her, can she still get the experience point when she was pursuing her motivation?
Yeah, I would say, like, if you're able to convince her that this is justice enough, or, like, this is going to be good enough.
It's more about the involving it in the story and the pursuit of the goal than actually achieving the goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I think the question and answer for experience points will always be kind of a negotiation, like you pitching, like, this
I'm
is why I feel
terrible
at
negotiating
like
with you.
I did that.
Always lose.
So we're not limited to the three things they give us.
No, you can make up your own, but those give you kind of an idea of the flavor.
I got mine.
All right.
It's to provide for my spouse and kid.
Damn,
you're a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
How was your baby?
Young. Loud.
What is that situation like?
So we are, it's a working poor situation.
Did you marry for love?
It's complicated. Because now I'm realizing that my motivation is going to tie in with my trauma, is going to tie in with my dark secret.
Yeah, and so, I think, yeah.
You guys will just vaguely know that I have a wife and kid at home that I want to provide for. So for me, like, money is going to be a big thing.
So money, what else do
you hope
that
we're also poor.
Provide for them?
What's that?
Like, what
money,
else
a better life. You know, what is poor? Poor is like you're living meal to meal type.
So like even like finding and bringing back food, or yes, being able to like stock the,
yep,
you know, the cellar. Dope. Lucas, Emily, what are you thinking?
Do you know yours?
Yeah, mine is to aid everyone in need at any cost, which is more of a chaotic concept, even though it's not like a chaotic or neutral concept in this
but
game.
But why, though, I think is the question. So, like, why is that motivating that revolt, you to
that
do
that? Goes back to things that you wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, are you, like, drawn to any specific sort of need? Like, is there one that...
Nah, present it more of like a merc, right? Like, give me a quest. All right, if to me it's worth it, I'll do it.
Well, are you willing enough to do it just for the good of it, or do you want compensation?
No, if somebody were to offer me money, I'd take it. I'm not gonna negotiate.
Okay,
I'm
but
not,
it's really about the price. Okay.
Yeah, I would not negotiate a price. If somebody said, "I'll give you, you know, 10 shekels to go punch Johnny in the face," I'm like, that's fine. I'll go punch
Johnny.
I hate Johnny.
I'll punch him for free.
Tell me why you want me to punch Johnny in the face and I'll go do it. If you can't give me a good reason, what's the point?
Emily, what do you think?
So Astra has a backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Howsomever. Basically, Amy's character and my character know each other. I think we've already decided that.
Yes.
Because we are best friends and obviously, duh. Anyway, originally, she was running around recording sightings and attacks of Vessens from, like, people's point of views until she met Amy. And then...
Sylvie.
Or, sorry, Sylvie. Ooh. Sorry, my bad.
I'm going to fight you on the pluralization of Vessen.
Vessen.
I think Vessen is the pluralization of Vessen, like deer.
Moose.
Meese.
Meese.
It's just, I'm just going to fight you on it.
Musai.
Musai.
Octopuses.
Actually, it's
I know talking
it's
about.
No, it's not.
Doggesses.
It's octopussies.
So much better.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, then when she met Amy, she is now chronologically going through all of her hunting tales and writing them down, kind of like a story, so to say.
She's now almost writing my biography of the terrible things that I've gone through.
Yes.
And have now set me on my trail.
Kind of like in The Witcher, the bard that like follows
him around. She's my dandelion.
They just finished filming season 3.
So. I know. But yes.
Oh my god, I'm gonna sing that song every time.
Toss a coin to your witcher, oh valley of plenty.
We're gonna get sued.
Seven I didn't
seconds.
Sing 20
seven
seconds
she's
of
fine.
It.
Yeah, she's seven good.
Seconds.
She's good.
7 seconds, we're good.
Ooh, Amy, you got a voice, girl.
Oh, thank
she
you.
Does. Yeah. She does. She does.
Oh, we need to go to karaoke.
I would love to go to karaoke.
Oh my god, you and Ashley need to do a duet, man. Mm.
I feel like me and your wife need to
I'll
be
get
friends.
Hammered.
But now you have to do toss a coin.
Yay! And I can teach you how to crochet at the same time.
Yes! I'm so happy.
So what about that process gives you that like good feeling? What about that motivates you?
Putting the stories out there so people believe us.
So people reading your stories,
yes,
being convinced by your stories.
Yes. Because I am an empath, so I want people to feel for people that have been through this, even though it's not normal or common to have this done to them. Kind of the way that, you know, most people write, it's not to the... Like, it's to the masses so people understand other people's stories.
Yeah like you're seeking almost validation and acceptance for other people's trauma.
Right. Just, exactly. Yeah. And to put out the trauma out there, it's to bring acceptance and understanding to it.
Nice.
So to say.
So now we can go into trauma and dark secret. Trauma technically first, Dark Secret after. They give you some examples for trauma and Dark Secret, but you can obviously come up with your own. You do not have to share your trauma. I would like you not to share your Dark Secret just for now. It could come up later. You could choose to reveal it in the game. Totally fine.
Okay. So,
does anyone know Trauma and Dark Secret have that planned out?
Yep.
Yep.
I do.
Hey, listeners, I just wanted to cut in here. We decided to remove the trauma and dark secrets from this episode so that as the game progresses, they may come up organically. Each of us did this in a one-on-one basis with Austin, and he's the only one that knows exactly what our trauma and dark secrets are. We thought that this might create a more intriguing presentation as things organically arise for you to learn and for us as players to learn.
All right, so let's do relationships. So I've been kind of thinking about how I want to start off session one. And my thought is kind of given, I don't think this will be a huge issue given kind of what I'm hearing in terms of background. But Uppsala is the main city. It's on the other side of that map.
It's on the other side of the Munchkins.
of the Munchkins. That is kind of, that is the Mythic North. So that is the major area. But that is the city. My thought is you all are heading to the city of Uppsala for some reason. So maybe, you know, if you're a city dweller, you're moving from Stockholm to Uppsala. But it is a place that it's kind of an up and coming city. There is a university there that is very well known. It has one of the best hospitals in the area. It is also a kind of like word of mouth. A good place to learn about the occult, good place where it's really kind of that blend of kind of the old mysticism and kind of new science and new religion is all kind of coming together. It's a very kind of diverse area. So you all, for some reason, are heading to Uppsala to seek something, to establish a new life, to... you're journeying there for some reason. You could also be based in Uppsala if that makes sense, and you are elsewhere, but you are on your way. We are going to start session one. You are all in a carriage together heading to Uppsala.
I think that, stop me if you don't agree, Emily, that Astrid and Sylvie are probably traveling there to do research for Astrid's book and for Sylvie to learn more about the Vassin that she is has a crusade against.
Yes.
That makes sense. Yeah. There's a huge library, a huge university, even.
It's like a girls' vacation. Whee! Like a girls' weekend.
Girls' trip!
Kill me. Gentlemen, what are you thinking? Because I know for some, it might not make sense, like you are uprooting and going to Uppsala, but it could just be, I have a reason to head that way. Or if not, it could be one of those things where, like, your motivation to go to Uppsala is not set, but you're in this carriage because you're heading somewhere.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay.
That kind of fits for my background, as we discussed. Yeah. So.
And then you could decide, like, oh, okay, I'm going to stay in Uppsala or whatever.
Yeah, and I'd say mine is pretty similar in that I am kind of looking for opportunities to make some coin. And so that may be in Uppsala. I'm going to check it out. And I hear that it's popping, but it may not.
You have actually heard that Uppsala is right now in the middle of a brick boom.
Ooh.
Like, the brick industry is huge in Uppsala, and you can make some money. And
bricks are really
might
right
be
now
a little bit safer in terms of, like, the kind of labor.
Ooh, and maybe you're, like, scoping out to see if it's, like, you're going to move your family there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
What's your name?
I haven't come up with one yet.
My name is...
Very important, by the way.
Servant.
My name is Tim.
Yeah, I for a game like this, I actually don't feel any shame in stealing from the
list. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they all sound creative to me. Yeah, because I don't recognize any of them.
Oh, this is a nice one.
He doesn't have to go off, like, because I stole from the doctor first name, and then I stole from the last name.
He's a Torsten.
A Torsten?
He's a Torsten Bach.
Ooh. Oh no, our last names are very similar.
What's yours?
Brock.
Bach and Brock?
I'll be Rask.
Okay.
Yeah, be Bach and Brask.
Bach and
who cares?
Go into
who
business.
Cares?
Brick business.
I already erased it, so. And it's still cool. What's yours
spell
again?
Spell it.
Rask and R-A-S-K. And then T-O-R-S. I can't even read my own handwriting, guys. T-O-R-S-T-E-N.
Thorsten.
Thorsten.
Thorsten Rock. What's your?
My character is Sylvie Brock, B-R-O-C-K.
See, Brock and Rosk. Oh, not as good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's.
I am Astra Johansson.
Johansson.
Lucas, who are you?
Hvitar. H-V-I-T-R. Hvitar.
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 You have to say it like Hvitar.
Heat.
H-V what?
Hvitar.
I-T-R.
Hvitar Raffin.
Raffin.
H-V-I, but it has the flag instead of the dot. T-R.
Viter, yeah.
Yeah, it's Viter.
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 And last name?
Raffin.
Raffin.
And you spell that?
H-R-A-F-N.
There's so many H's, hang on.
Mm-hmm.
H-R-H?
H-R-A-F-N.
F-N.
I've already spelt Viter wrong, like, eight-ish times? Eight-ish.
All right, so we can do relationships.
Yeah, everybody, I want y'all to learn Old Norwegian by next week. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Swedish.
All right, so on your character archetype list, there are relationships. It gives you three options. You can also make up your own, but you need to have a relationship with each person in the party. It can be pretty vague. It can be just kind of an impression, right? Especially if you just met, you would just have kind of a general sense of them. But we would just want a sense of like the attitude and the energy between you. So I guess we could do, does it make sense to like start with like, okay, Lucas, what is everybody's relationship to Lucas? Or Lucas, to you pick your relationship to each person?
So I am someone who is very quiet. You would notice.
So Lucas, if he was allowed to wear cloaks,
right? You would. I mean, you would notice that. Like, if I'm speaking, I'm speaking with purpose. There's no reason for me to talk unless I need to.
Right.
It's not that I'm not cordial, but I'm not like, let's be besties.
Okay. Either.
Ooh. Okay. I like this. We're gonna start with Lucas. So what you did there, I really like. And then we're gonna have everybody like, what is your impression of Lucas, or what is your relationship? If there's something else, I like that. Okay. So like that's the impression that you get, yeah, of Lucas. Anything else like on the carriage? Like what would you be doing? How would you pass the time? Would you?
I'm reading a journal of some sort. Obviously not like presenting it to the rest of you, but I'm reading something that is clearly a handwritten object.
I think Sylvie would feel like you are, she's suspicious of you and feels that you are hiding something.
That's fair.
All right. So did you write that next to?
You are hiding something.
Oh, secrets.
How do you spell Sylvie? Sorry.
S-Y-L-V-I.
I think I would feel the same way based on my story and background. I'd just be generally suspicious, but nothing more.
Astra would be cautious, but also intrigued. Like, because her
she
whole
likes
thing
that
is
he's yeah reading, yeah.
I like that you're reading. You also seem like, I assume whatever you're reading, since it's handwritten, I'm a writer, so I want to know,
right?
So I'm intrigued. I'm cautious, but I'm intrigued.
You know, my character Thorsten, he's younger, so he has kind of that, he still has that youthful energy. He's ripped as hell, but he kind of, his clothes don't necessarily fit kind of in a impoverished way, but not like a, he's not able to take care of himself way. And he is a little bit fidgety, and he actually has this kind of like one of those wooden puzzles. You know what I mean? What I'm talking mm-hmm. about, that he is very frustratedly kind of like trying to solve. Cause he gets bored pretty easily. And again, not in like a, not necessarily in like a 4-year-old way. Like it's not super immature, but he constantly wants to be doing something. So something like a long carriage ride, is a struggle for him.
He's got a little fidget spinner.
Yeah.
a steampunk
18th century
like little, fidget spinner. Some kind of
like
bearing
a little top
and,
or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sylvie thinks that you're just a naive townie who probably wouldn't survive at all on their own in the wild.
Mm. I like that.
Kind of dismissive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Astra would think the same thing. Like, you know, she's like, oh, bless his heart.
Yeah. He's going to the big city.
So it's more pity or?
Not pity, but just like, he's naive. He hasn't seen the ways of the world. Granted, Astra is not the brightest crayon in the box, even though she is a writer. She's almost naive in herself. So like, she almost feels like she can understand your side of things. But also like, oh, he's so young. Look at him. Isn't he cute? Like that. You know, one of those.
Not enough to kind like, of fill like, out your stories.
Yeah, like he's my little enough. Brother, but yeah. like me, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Can I get ages again?
38.
30. 36. Okay. Ooh, so I'm by far the youngest. Okay.
Yeah, and I would notice too, like, similarities in that we're not interacting with a lot of people. We're to ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm going to say naive but relatable.
Relationship, Lucas?
Well, that's why I said, like, we're not, like, we're not talking, right?
I don't think so.
No. But like, same, what does your character think of him?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Like, we're not talking, but at the same time, I'm seeing similarities. Like, clearly, we're not, well, I don't know what your background is, but, like, clearly you're not also a people person for one reason or another.
Do you get any sort of, so on the occultist, I notice your relationships are interesting because things like you bring me peace, you will save us all one day, you're hiding something from the rest of us. Do you, and you don't have to do this for everybody, but I do wonder if there's like, would you get a certain kind of sense from him or like maybe one of the other characters? But that
so I was going to ask you about that. Like, so, cause I'm doing my best to read people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to roll for that stuff or not.
Not necessarily. I mean, you've been on this carriage for a while. Like, it's a long journey. Like, right. You're stopping periodically. Like, you get a sense of them.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to read people that are on this carriage. So if that's what I'm reading from him, then that's what
I'm reading. That's your impression.
Yeah. That's my impression. Like, okay. It's without having a conversation, I can't really judge a person.
Mm-hmm. But my thought is, if you wanted to play up that occult, like, you look at him and you feel something. Like, you get this sense.
Yeah.
Like, you could play that up. It might not be valid at all, but that's an option for you. Because specifically, the occultist relationships are interesting in that regard. It seems to play up that kind of sixth sense sort of thing.
Yeah. No, aside from the other two, I feel like he's the one who's, like, hiding something. That's just what I'm seeing.
Okay. All right, Normie, what is your character? What impression do you get?
Okay, so Sylvie is the oldest of this bunch, and she looks it. She has spent the last probably almost 2 decades hunting with her husband in the woods. Kind of, they had their own cabin, and they would bring goods into the smaller village that they lived near to sell and trade, but they didn't have a lot of outside contact with people. And then once her husband died, she was kind of on her own, and now she's looking for her own place. I'm going off the rails here. She is 38, but she kind of looks like haggard and battle worn. Like, she's got lines on her face. Her clothing is like very sturdy, very well fit for the outdoors. She's got her big ass wolfhound sitting next to her on this carriage. And she looks like she's on a mission. Like, she's very determined. She's not paying a lot of attention to everybody else in the carriage, or appears not to be paying much attention other than when Astra engages her in conversation.
Impressions, relationships.
Clearly, Astra is like a fangirl. She's, again, a bard, basically. At least that's what I'm playing her as. And so she just like is super wowed, and you inspire me.
Ooh. Yeah!
which is why I'm writing a book about her. So, like, anytime you do something interesting, you'll, like, right, be right, like,
scribbles.
Like, or notes. So, yes, that is definitely my impression of you.
I'd say, as someone who grew up and worked in an urban setting, that the only time I'd see a dog would be a guard dog or a stray dog. And neither of those are super duper friendly.
No, this Siri is very well trained. And
I was going to say, I feel like she's sitting between your legs, like just glaring at everybody.
Yeah, this is a fictional Siri.
This is a fictional Siri.
This is nothing like their actual dog.
Not actually trying to crawl on your lap and sit on your chest until you can't breathe while you're sleeping on the couch. Definitely right. not doing that.
So I think a combination of the fact that he's never had a good experience with dogs and he's grown up in an urban setting and you're clearly dressed country.
Yeah, wilderness.
Wilderness. I think, am I intrigued or scared or both? I think I'm both.
Both.
Yep.
Love it.
No, I'm actually like someone who has the trust of a dog to me is a trustworthy person. So that person is someone that I could befriend if need be.
Sorry, when we get to me, you'll laugh at that. So yeah. Continue.
That's fine.
Cool. Emily.
Okay, so Astra is a bard, y'all, and she's like a Luna Lovegood bard. She is ditzy, bright-eyed, and happy all the freaking time for no reason. and she will spin everything positively. She also has a dog. She's a little... I'm going to make her a basset hound because fuck it. Her name is Mrs. Daisy May.
this is different than the Miss Daisy May.
Yeah, it's Miss Daisy May. Well, I was going to give her like a more pompous name, but I was like, no, I'm not going to. But she's like Miss Daisy May. Mrs. Daisy May is sitting on like a cushion and she's very like... proper and, you know, prissy and doubted upon and has sparkly colors and, like, you know, clearly not at all like Sylvie's dog. we are kind of the opposite. Like, you're more rugged and I'm more girly. And so it's just very, it's an interesting looking
couple
dynamic. But she just talks about random things all the time. Like, you know, should see a bird, be like, oh, Sylvie, did you see the bird? The bird's so pretty. Do you
bird
see
talk.
It?
And then Sylvie is going to tell you what kind of bird it is, how you'd hunt it, and what it would fetch at market.
Exactly. And so, and as you say all that, you'll see me, like, scribble it all down. And so that is just kind of Astra in a nutshell. Just kind of, I know the listeners can't see me, but far gaze away look of, like, starry eyes.
Spencer, what is your impression? What is your relationship?
Yeah, I was sitting here thinking about it. And so when you say you're like a bard. Okay, no, I'm thinking about that the wrong way.
I mean, she's not going to start singing or playing music or anything. Her bardness is writing tales.
Right. When I would see or interact with anyone like you, in what context?
I would probably be more of like, so if you're a servant and you've worked in like high rich places, I'd be more of like a lady in waiting is maybe what you've seen. Like, you know, I'm one of those girls that follows the really rich people around, doesn't really normally have
Spencer,
money
is
myself.
Your character from a larger city or a smaller town?
Villagey town.
I was thinking of, it's got to be somewhere where there are industrializing, so it's probably going to have to be like a larger city.
Okay, so you I mean, in your circle you probably really haven't met many people like her.
Yeah.
And like, how do you feel about, I mean, there are no calluses on those hands.
That's
like, you
that's,
know, like,
that's where I'm kind of leaning towards. I like that. So it just seems I'm more action oriented and less thought oriented, or I'm not going to read. There's no reason for me to read anything. Like, that doesn't make any sense. So I guess I'm struggling to come up with a word that would describe. So I would see her as maybe frivolous.
Yeah.
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 no real meat to her story.
Yeah, and I would really, yeah. And that'll be kind of fun too, because then I'll really like struggle to see your value when then obviously metagamer, you're so critical. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So, but I think exactly. that'd be kind of fun to play with. Like, what do you bring to this writer?
And I know you don't know, but backstory wise, I find you relatable.
And that's so fun
like
too.
That's what's fun. You don't see how we could be related, but like I see the relation of myself and you type of a thing.
I love it.
Lucas.
I'm seeing someone again. I'm going to relate it to the dog. So your dog is on a pillow. So clearly you're a very caring person.
Yes.
Not that your character doesn't care for your dog. Well, but
it's a different kind of caring.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine
is also trained. I will say that she is trained, but she's a princess. Like actual dog.
I feel like you're a bit of an ADHD person, and but at the same time is very detailed for a reason.
Cool. To be honest, she'd probably never tell you this, but you annoyed the shit out of her when she first met you. But then because I'm sure you talked incessantly, getting to know your research and what you've done, like, she has found you very valuable to her, you know, new mission in life. But second of all, has come to appreciate your companionship and your friendship. And so she really sees you as like a
meat shield that has...
more than just like a traveling companion. Yeah. Like,
I'm your surrogate husband.
You're welcome. Maybe. We'll see.
You haven't gotten there yet.
Depends
but like,
if we roleplay that.
Like me, I myself... I myself see myself as your surrogate husband because obviously I'm amazing.
Yeah, but she definitely sees you as indispensable. Yeah. And now that like you're like there are our life goals have kind of meshed, that strengthened the relationship.
Sweet. So those are things that you will build off of. Obviously, it's for most of it's just a starting point. It's an impression. Those can evolve. Those can change. Those are not set like dark secrets and traumas, etc. All right, last thing is mementos. So on page 23, there is a chart. And this is a D66 chart. And they like to use D66, and I love it. It's 2D6 that you designate one as the 10 space and one as the 1 space. You roll them, and that is your memento. And you can build around that. That should have some kind of narrative effect or backstory effect. It should mean something to you, but you can decide eventually based on what you roll what that actually is.
Are we allowed to just pick a memento, or does it have to come from the chart?
I think this I want to give you the challenge of rolling, getting that memento, and then like how could I use
creating
it? Because one is a tame pigeon and everyone would pick that.
That is true.
True.
This is a very free league thing.
Like, yeah.
D66s are huge on all their games.
Thank you. Mine really, the one that I rolled really doesn't fit in with my character. Can
what
I
is
re-roll?
It?
It's
roll?
Newspaper from a date that means something to you.
Are you sure about that? I know how that could fit.
I know. She just doesn't seem like a person who would keep a newspaper.
I'm going to say keep it. Okay. I want you to try to figure it out. I think that's the challenge.
I mean, I know what date it would be.
Yeah.
But.
All right, Austin, I rolled 45, which I'm going to play. However, if you look at the flip of that.
45?
Flip it to 54.
Oh, that would be so good.
I can't. Okay, let's do that.
I
you
feel
can
like
take
you know,
either
though.
Or.
I feel like it couldn't be, though, for you know why.
My the flipped of mine is map with notes in the margin, and that, I think, fits really
Let's do
well.
That.
Yeah.
So you pick, can do pick either one. Flip. Pick either one. Yeah, you get a choice.
Do you have yours? Do you need
I got mine. Mine's very interesting. It's a powder compact with sleeping pills.
Ooh! That is a good one.
That one's dope.
That's good.
Yeah.
Lucas?
Did anyone get a pigeon?
Lucas?
I wrote a 14. Mine's my father's cane.
Ooh!
Or a 41.
Although I suppose I could, I don't know. Austin, tell me which one.
Okay, you have unsigned will or the music box.
Because I could make both work, but
what would you have more fun with?
I suppose it depends. Like, what do they mean by unsigned will? Like, do I need to get somebody to sign it, or could I sign? Is it my will? Is it something?
It's up to you. So On page 22, it does say you can use your memento to heal a condition by interacting with it. So it does have a use. So it should mean something to you, and it should somehow allow you to meditate on it, or it should give you
I'm going to do the music box.
All right. And the very last thing is equipment. So on your archetype, it sometimes gives you a blank or blank. If that's the case, just pick one of the two. Anything else you have?
You can have a hunting knife or a hunting dog. Who would pick a hunting knife over a hunting dog?
Fools.
That depends on how close your combat is.
Hunting dogs can be used for advantage in close combat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a hunting knife is used
and
for
hunting. So it's a hunting dog? Mm-hmm. It's a plus three bonus, mm-hmm. vigilance, close combat, and investigation. Mm-hmm. That's real good. Mm-hmm. Real fucking good.
He's a good dog.
Good dude.
What's a
Siri's
hurricane?
Good dog.
What's a hurricane lamp? Is it just a torch, basically?
That's a good question.
Google.
Can I get that or makeup? I don't think I would have makeup, so.
And then so I get a hurricane lamp is just a kind of lamp that is this shape.
Okay, gotcha.
And that's because the shape of the glass that goes around the...
It's called a hurricane.
It protects...
It's a hurricane shade.
Ooh, actually, I get two choices. Then I get a field kitchen or simple bandages. So are we going to be role-playing survival?
Simple bandages requires medicine.
Oh, so...
What do you mean?
Like, are we going to have to worry about food?
And field kitchen is cook with inspiration, so you can use your inspiration, which you don't have any points in.
So both of those are completely worthless. Cool.
Awesome. I would say don't worry about it too much for this session.
So basically, I'm gonna get simple bandages. So I'm basically gonna be giving all my equipment away. You can have my bandages. I'm probably gonna be giving all my equipment to Amy. You can have my bandages.
Give me all your stuff.
Punk. Stop. Give me your lunch money.
I'll beat you up.
Get beat.
I have writing utensils and paper. Odd. I also have a camera.
Ooh.
Which kind of also shows I'm maybe a higher class than some of you, because I'm just assuming based off your clothes and your cloak. And then also I have my pet dog.
Sweet.
I have a crystal ball.
That's dope.
That is pretty dope.
I also have powdered stag's horn, which is actually in the book a magic item. Hang on. The effect of that is you can use observation to resist the temptations of a Vassin.
Ooh.
Mm. Oh, that's cool.
Player kicker feels...
Can't come across the damn
mermaid. The risk, though, is that the player character feels unloved and suffers one mental condition every hour until someone succeeds in inspiration check.
I got you.
And then I have a dagger as well.
Sweet. And I think that's it. We are character creating.
No insights and defects?
Those will come as you become broken.
Gotcha. And then advantages as well, I'm assuming.
That we will do at the start of the next.
Cool, 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 cool.
The first actual scenario. Be thinking about why you are, like, what your intention is for going to Uppsala. Think about how you would have prepared for the trip, like some things that, and it might be given what you're trying to seek out in Uppsala. How would you have prepared? Because that will help us with advantages next time. But yeah, that's character creation. We did it.
Yay!
We are created.
We did it.
Yay. Thanks for listening, listeners.
Thank you for listening. The Dance of Dreams, written by Niles Hintz. Find us online at RancorsBrothel.com, Facebook at Fans of the Rancors Brothel, Twitter at Rancors_Brothel.